Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to get the elephant in the room off stage right now. I am not going to be singing All You Need Is Love to You. I'm not going to sing it to you for a variety of reasons, but let's just say it's because I love you that I'm not going to do that. But what does that phrase mean? God is love. That's the sermon. I can sit down now. And Bob, you can contradict me, but I think this assertion that God is love is a pretty popular one in our denomination. But is that enough? There are some people in my profession who would say that we need more than love. They would say that Jesus is the answer. Now, when I say Jesus, it usually has two syllables. Perhaps you've heard preachers who are able to turn that into three syllables. Jesus. But people will say that. If only there was more Jesus in the schools. If only there was more Jesus in society. Everything would be fine. Everything would be good. Really? If you introduce Jesus into the schools, people are going to argue. People are going to have different opinions. Children are children, and grown-ups are grown-ups. And before we can talk about Jesus, we need to talk about God's love. Now, the one takeaway I'd like you to take away from this morning's lesson, and you can write it down if you want, is that just because you love someone does not mean you have to like them. Think about that. You are told in this scripture, in this letter that was written to people in Ephesus, in a church that was probably no larger than our congregation this morning, that God is love. And if you hate your brother and sister, you do not love God. So yes, I can sit down now and ask you to read the letter again and just meditate on what it means. But that's not what I'm called to do. Because unfortunately, we need to have these simple propositions spelled out to us. What does God is love mean? This is a reading we hear during the Easter season. And remember that God is love was demonstrated on the cross when Jesus died for you and me. Remember the words of John, who wrote the gospel, "For God so loved the world." And you can spell that out. God came down to earth to be with us, to teach us, to heal us, to love us, and to die for us. Now, I'm not asking you to show your love for your brother and sister by giving sacrificially and dying on a cross. But I'm not saying that that won't be required. Now, you might say, oh, well, I don't want to go down that road. And that's understandable. Nobody should want to go down that road. Jesus did not want to go down that road. Jesus wasn't a glutton for punishment. But the old saying is that every journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And that may be cliche, but it's true. So think about what you can do for your brother and sister. Think about how you can demonstrate your love. Think about that. So we've talked as a church about resuming our community dinners. That is an act of love for our neighbors. Think about that. Think about helping an old person cross the street. And if you've seen cars whip around Colburn Park, you'll know that that's not a small thing. Showing that kind of affection, which might just take a moment of your time, is what the gospel is talking about. It is what the epistle is talking about. And yes, these big changes in our lives have to begin with a single step. So I'm going to wander off into potentially dangerous waters here and say that there are topics about which we will disagree. We are not of one mind on every issue. There are people out there who hold views that I think are stark raving nuts. But that doesn't mean I should love them any less. So, Laurel, I'm sorry, I'm going to single you out here. But Laurel works in politics. And Laurel has to work with people with whom she philosophically disagrees. But Laurel does not punch them. Laurel does not stab them in the back. And Barb, I'm going to single you out as a former mayor of Lebanon. I am sure there were people with whom you disagreed on the city council. But you too neither stabbed nor tripped nor punched. Maybe occasionally you cursed quietly in your mind. But you showed a degree of civility. So we've had our moments in this church, which is not surprising. I've been here now 14 years. But I hope and I pray that we've been able to show our love for one another. So I will say this unashamedly. I love all of you. And I had a great example of that love this morning. I cannot tell you how great it was to see Xavi in the back of the sanctuary. It was nice to see Emery too, but Xavi's a little bit older and now he can talk more and interact. And he was really excited to notice that we both had tassels on our loafers. And you laugh. But yes, it was great. And then Xavier had energy, so he was jumping up and down. And it was infectious, and I saw his grandfather respond to that. And I'm sure that meant the world to Xavier. And I'll tell you, it meant the world to me. Love your brother and sister. Because if you don't, and you say you love God, you will be a liar. Those are pretty simple words. And I want to pivot to a lesson from Acts. Now think about this. Here's a stranger from another country. And he was seeking what? He was seeking enlightenment. He was seeking inspiration. He was seeking love. We don't know what the Kandake's motives were. But clearly, the appeal of the God of Israel was strong enough that he was willing to travel from Ethiopia all the way up to Jerusalem. Now, the sociology and politics of the ancient world are pretty complex. So just imagine if a member of the president's cabinet went to another country to seek inspiration from one of their religious leaders. I can guarantee you that would be a scandal. But this person, who clearly was a trusted figure, the Kandake, ran the Queen's treasury. He clearly was somebody with some brains and some talent with money. And he was trusted enough to leave the country and go talk to another god. And then Philip shows up. And Philip, at the prodding of the Holy Spirit, gets into the man's chariot. And the Ethiopian doesn't understand what he's reading. The Ethiopian, like most of us, was willing to say that. And he needs a guide. And Philip doesn't tell him that he won't teach him. Philip doesn't care that the Ethiopian looks different from him. Doesn't care that he talks differently from him. What Philip focuses on is the fact that this person has an interest in knowing more about the God of Israel. And the book of Acts is all about the way the early church took the gospel out into the wider world. And so Philip taught him. And then the eunuch responded and wanted to be baptized. Now think about that. This man from a completely alien civilization wanted to be baptized. And Philip did not then say, oh, well, you've got to meet all of these different requirements. I'm sure there was a mental, yeah, in Philip's mind. Another person coming to the God of Israel, to Jesus. And Philip baptized him. And then off they went their different ways. Now, there's a lot in that man's life that did not change. The Ethiopian was still an Ethiopian. He was still a eunuch. And if you know anything about the Hebrew Bible, you know that sexual mutilation was something that was not approved of. That did not change for the eunuch. Except one of God's people had extended the right hand of friendship and of fellowship to him. So why were people eunuchs? I'm not going to get into the details of how one becomes a eunuch. But it was a way of controlling people. It was a way of cutting off their allegiances to other people. So a eunuch could not have children. So the queen did not have to worry about the eunuch trying to pass on whatever wealth he had, whatever power he had, to his descendants. But being cut off in a world, in particular, valued lineage and heritage that talked about ancestors, would have been a really horrible thing. Maybe not something that you'd focus on all day long, every day, but it never went away. And now the eunuch has been adopted into the family of God. Think about that. God loved the eunuch. Just as God loves you and you and you and all of you. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted. Someone's phone is humming. But God loves me even though I can be distracted. God loves you even if your phone goes off in church. Now, that doesn't mean we should test God. Please turn off the vibrators. Please turn off the bells on your phones. That is a simple act of kindness to your neighbors. And dare I say, it is an act of love. So yes, there are people out there who do things that I find really annoying. And I'm not going to go into the list of things because that's not what the pulpit is for. But if people can annoy me, imagine how much I can annoy God. Imagine how much all of you can annoy God. Imagine how much Jesus must have been annoyed by the apostles. We read it in the gospel. Jesus was clearly a pillar of patience. And yes, the apostles were very annoying at times. They didn't get his teachings. But Jesus stuck with them, just as Jesus will stick with us. So yes, we are the only ones that God has to work with. We are the only ones who could share the good news with others. The message is pretty simple, that God is love. God is not vengeance. God is not wrath. God is not anger. God is not judgmental. God is not who I say God is, and therefore you're wrong. God is love. And yes, this may sound pretty trite, but imagine what our world would be like if we actually reflected that. Really. It's a beautiful sunny day, and we should give God thanks for his creation, and we should give God thanks for our being here. It is a blessing. So I'm just going to ask you to remember those words. God is love. And keep them in your heart. And then let those words shape your behavior and your life. Would you join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for the apostles. We give you thanks for the faithful throughout the ages, for those whose names we know, and for those many whose names we do not know. Thank you for all who have followed you, and thank you for calling us to be among them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.